Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings! Thank you this morning, our radio listening audience, for joining us as we bring to you again a beautiful discussion from Imam Shahid Shabazz on life after death in this world and the hereafter. This will be our part two. We're going to continue with the discussion. So many people seem to have loved it last week, and they thought that we should talk more about this. So we're going to do more today on the teachings of life after death in this world and the hereafter. I want to remind you that you are listening to the radio broadcast show of Imam Shahid Shabazz, The Reality of the Creator, which comes on every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Please spread the word and have your friends, your neighbors, and your family to join us. We also want to remind you that this broadcast show could not take place without the support of you, as well as the struggles of Imam Shahid Shabazz and myself. And we appreciate your donations and welcome your donations. For those of you who would like to donate to assist us, we can be reached at 336-497-8734. 336-497-8734. And now, life after death in this world and the hereafter. Life is a precious gift from the Almighty God, a law that should be well guarded. If you don't guard the gift of life, the enemy of life will take your life. Life is love. Life is care. Life and life is justice. Therefore, we as human beings must understand that life is short, and we must take our focus off this world and its illusions, and regain our life before our time expires or runs out on this earth, which is temporary and quickly fleeting away. And now, Imam Shahid Shabazz.
Good morning, radio listening audience. I thank you again for being able to have this opportunity to be with you again this week and to continue to talk because there's a great need for a revival of the human spirit in this society, not only in America, but the world. We see so much death, so much destruction around us. We see so much hatred of human beings hating on other human beings, preying on them like animal preying on another animal for food. I thought about this, and I will say a prayer, and then I'll continue. I thought about a vulture. You know, a vulture is one that eats the dead flesh after animals die. And I see people out here symbolically or metaphorically preying on other people. But the people that's preying on the people, they represent the people who have knowledge of real life. And the way they eat your dead flesh is that they symbolically is saying that they are destroying your real spiritual life by keeping you ignorant, of who you really are, and keeping you in ignorance. Therefore, they can do anything to you, tell you anything, and make it sound like it's right, but in reality, when you accept it, you get bad results. And this is what we see. We have been miseducated, and we're getting bad results. We have been misinformed, and we're getting bad results. So we want to start this way, but we're open with the opening prayer, a universal prayer in the Holy Quran. And this is the final revelations of Allah, the Creator, that He revealed to His last prophet, Muhammad, 1,000 and about 1,436 years ago. He revealed his final revelation. And I just want to say before this prayer, if I can, inshallah, that be the will of Almighty God, Allah. That, you know, if you listen at the word final, see, words are very important. And the society have us, most people, well, they don't even think about what they say. They just say things and don't even think about it, and degrading things and degrading each other, and don't even think about it. Thinking is the key, people. You see, and so, in other words, thinking is the key to life. And so this prayer, I was going on to say that, because I got so much coming at my mind, bear patient with me, that the Holy Quran, it is the final revelation. That means that it wasn't the only revelation that Allah or the Creator revealed to mankind. You got to go all the way back to Adam, the first human being, the first man. Allah, the Creator, revealed revelation to him. Then you come all the way up the line of the prophets and messengers like Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Noah, etc. What I'm trying to say is that there should be no division between Muslim, Christian, Jews, people in any religion, because we all have the same truth that we're supposed to be following. And if you follow the same truth, it's no way you can be divided in your thinking. And we should not. If you're in any faith, you should not follow what you think or feel or somebody's opinion. You should only strive and seek to learn and follow the word of Almighty God, Allah, your Creator, because He say, Allah in the Holy Quran, He say, whose word can be truer than mine? I want you to tell me if you can, but I know you can't. Whose word can be truer than your Creator, Allah? Nobody's. So with that said, we'll say this prayer. We're going to still say it in Arabic, and for all of those criticizers out there who might want to criticize me, for not speaking the Arabic language of the Quran like they want me to, I just want to say, I'm not even saying this to criticize them. I'm just saying I'm not trying to please you. I'm trying to please Almighty Allah. And Allah says that in the Quran, that every people in the world, He always sent, raised up messengers and teachers from among them to teach them in their own language. Our language in the United States of America is English. It's not Urdu or Arabic or Spanish or whatever. It's English. So this is what I will translate this prayer in after I said inshallah in the Arabic. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Maliki yawmiddin, إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. We said with the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise is due to Allah, the cherisher and sustainer of the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master, ruler of the day of judgment. Thee alone do we worship, and thy need we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy favor and grace, those whose portion is not wrath, and who go not astray. Amen. Thank you again for your time and your patience. First, I wanted to say, my beloved radio audience, that there's a chapter in the Bible, and it's very valid and true, and it can be confirmed with the Holy Quran, which represents all the revelation. And this chapter, this is Allah, the Creator, speaking, not Jesus, not anyone else. And Almighty Allah says, my people perish because of the lack of my knowledge. My knowledge. You see, knowledge is the key, people, to freedom. Knowledge is the key to life. Life is in knowing God. That's what it means. Life is in knowing your Creator. He is life. When you think of life, who do you think of? You think, if you're rational, you got good sense. If when you think of life, you think of the one that created life. That's your Creator, Allah. So, you know, if you don't have the knowledge of Allah, it's impossible for you to know what life is. And you have enemies out here, predominantly and strategically in the government, to keep you from knowing the truth about your Creator, because they want to play God. They want to be your God, because they're under the influence of the Satan, the devil. As an example, why do 1% of not only the United States of America, why do 1% of the world's population in the, among the rich people, they control the majority of the material resources and wealth on the earth, and 99% of the people are poor? Now, you tell me if you can. I'm open. Dial the number one if you want to comment. You know, disagree to agree. That's okay, too. But you tell me why, if you can. That is such a great imbalance, such a great injustice is being done to the people. Not only that, but people perish because of the lack of knowledge. If you don't know what to eat in your body, that is put in your body, you put the wrong foods in your body, it'll destroy your body. If you read the wrong knowledge and you follow that knowledge, you're being taught by anybody, and they're miseducating you, it will lead you to destruction. And if you're being taught spiritually and people are falsifying the word of Almighty God, Allah, it will lead you astray from Allah, your Creator, and it will lead you to self-destruction and the destruction of other people. So the key here today, in continuation of this talk about life after death here in this world and life after death in the hereafter, what are we talking about? If you don't have, first of all, life, and life is spiritual, life is not physical for the human being. Now, check this out. We do have our animal life now. You know, we know that. We have animal function. That's how we procreate, through the animal process. You know, but Almighty God, Allah says in the Holy Quran, He says that He created the human being, and He describes how He created us. He says He created us out of, you know, clay of the earth, then sperm, a clot of blood, and He gone. I won't go through the whole details, but A lot of you all probably know this, but I'm just saying that to say that he said he created us. He's talking about our body, how he created our flesh and our functioning, you know, of our body. And then after he complete how he created our body, then he lets us know in the Holy Quran, he said, then I yet created another creature out of that out of our body. This creature came about when Almighty God, Allah, say he breathed or inspired into our body, our heart. I'm going right there to the heart. He said he inspired his divine life-giving spirit in our heart, and it gave us, it made us a what? A living soul. So he's telling you right here that if you want to live, the only way you can live is through your soul. And there's a saying also, what have we gained, a man or woman, gained to gain the whole wide world of material things, of material wealth, and lose their soul? And the answer is that they have gained nothing, but they've lost all that they have. Our immortal soul is all that we have. Almighty God, Allah says in the Holy Quran, all that's with us in the material world as human beings will soon pass away. But he said, all that's with him in his unseen world will last, endure forever. So you see, this world, we see time moving fast. A year goes by now like 6 months. A month go by now like it's 2 weeks. I was saying to somebody the other day, it was Friday, and I was thinking it was Thursday. I say, what? And they laughed, and they say, they weren't laughing at me, but they were laughing because I was right. I mean, time is moving so fast. People are dying so fast. And so these are signs, people, that the Creator letting you know that the things in this world and this world itself is temporary, and that the time for this world to end is just about up. This is why these things are happening. This is why evil is so active. I'm going to share this with you. You understand, I pray, what I mean by this. Almighty Allah said that he created the heavens and the earth for just ends, for justice, and for a term upon it. That means a limited period of time. He also say he created a human being for the same reason, for justice, to treat each other justly, and he created us for a limited period of time. He said what we all have in common, we all have in common death. We're all going to die. So why would you just put all of your, we used to say it this way, if you don't mind me saying it, why would you put all your marbles in one basket? Why would you, in other words, what I'm saying symbolically, why would you put all your hope and your trust in this world and the things of this world when these things going to pass away? Why wouldn't you put your trust in the world that's going to last forever? And that world comes after our life is over here in this world. That's the hereafter. That's after the resurrection of our dead bodies for the judgment day. And if we have a favorable judgment, that is, Almighty Allah says, read your record. He said he's going to say to all people, every individual, read your own record. And he says he's going to say your record is sufficient to make out an account for or against you. So you see here, that record is going to be made up of the deeds that we did in this world, good or bad deeds. And in order to do good or bad in this world, you have to think about it. You have to make the choice to do what, good or bad. You don't just do good or bad. The human being, we're not just animals. We have a mind. We have intelligence. We have the freedom to choose right from wrong. Other animals do not. So we can't blame anyone for the choices we make, except that, you know, you're young, you're a child, you're a baby, you've been miseducated, then I can understand that. But I'm trying to help you today to understand, even if you've been miseducated, and most of us have, how you can break that cycle enslavement and free your own self today. You can free your own self today. But you must free yourself, your true self, soon, because you don't know when you're going to die. I read in the Quran this morning, the final revelation, Almighty Allah said, don't nobody know what land they're going to die in. And he said, they don't know the time they're going to die. So we should always be prepared for death. But in order to be prepared for death, you got to have life. See? You got to have life. You got to be focused on striving for more life in order to overcome death. And in order to overcome miseducation, you got to get the correct education. Now, it's good to have secular knowledge or academic knowledge. We need that because we're living in a material world. But the problem ain't the academic knowledge. The problem is spiritual knowledge. Most people don't have true spiritual knowledge. They can tell you about the sciences and how far the sun is away from the stars, the moon, and they can tell you about the plants and all of these kinds of things dealing with the material world. But very few people even try to understand that there's a world that we can't see. That's all around us, like the movie The Matrix was talking about. There's a world all around us we can't see, and that's the real world. It's unseen. One man on The Matrix, for instance, if you don't mind me sharing it, he was eating a steak, and he really thought he was eating a steak, and he said, it's so good. And the other man told him, say, those are just your senses telling you you're eating a steak. He said, but in reality, there is no snake. Steak. Another little boy on the Matrix, he was juggling some balls. He was bending a spoon with his mind. And the guy, the star of the Matrix, came over and looked at him. And the little boy told him, say, don't try to bend the spoon with your hand. He said, just know that the only way you can bend the spoon is with your will. So Almighty God, Allah, what I'm trying to say, he has given us a will, and he has given us his knowledge so that we can subdue, we can bring all creation, under his will. It's under his will, but we can get all creation to serve us in, doing the will of our Creator. You see? So, the power, what they were saying on the Matrix is not in the material thing. The power is in your soul. The power is in your mind. I was blessed to break a brick when I took up martial arts. Do you think I broke that brick with my hand? No. And matter of fact, my karate instructor, I like to say this from time to time because it's very important. I was about 17 years old. And he told me, you have reached a level now in your training that I know you can break this brick, and that's going to take you to a higher level in the martial art. I said to him, I don't think I can break that brick. I'm ready. I was afraid I was going to break my hand, But then after he kept talking to me and letting me know mind is over matter, or your chi, or your spirit in Chinese, that's called chi. Your spirit, he says, is going to break the brick. The power of God in you, not you. But you got to concentrate on God. Take your mind off everything in this material world and realize that it's weak. And the power over it is God. And they say, once you get focused on God like that inside of you, and you focus on going through that brick, when you hit it, you're going straight through it. And I got to that point to where I didn't even feel like I was in this world no more mentally. I knew I was in the world physically, but my mind was completely in the unseen world of Allah. And when I hit that brick, I just tapped that brick, and it broke, split right in half. That shows you that the power, people are telling you money is power. Money is not power. Money is what's causing all of this corruption in this world, material greed. The knowledge of your Creator, the knowledge of who you are as a spiritual being, that is where your power is. It's in spiritual knowledge and spiritual insight. So at this time, this is a portion of the talk. I want to bring in the co-host and let her just add to what I've said, because we want to do this program together. And I know she has some beautiful, you know, comments, statements to make, knowledge to share with you also, to try to help you to understand that freedom is in true knowledge and true understanding of your Creator. And freedom is also in good morality. You know, righteousness, we're taught, is good morality, you see. So if you don't have morals, you can't have life. Because, see, if you don't have morals, that means that you don't have right in you. You don't want to do right. So if you are morally conscious, which is God conscious, that means you are conscious of doing right. You know right from wrong, and you want to do right because you know doing right will save you, and you know doing wrong will destroy you, and it will destroy others. You'll destroy others, and you'll destroy each other. So we have to have morals in order to come into the knowledge of Almighty God Allah. We have to first clean our life up. We have to want to live a clean life, stop lying, stealing, stop men wanting to have sex with men, homosexuality, stop lesbianism, huh? Stop all of this immoral behavior. Stop molesting children. Stop cheating, deceiving each other. Stop oppressing each other with wrongdoing towards each other. Stop the injustice to each other. Want the goods you got for your human family. Don't want it all for yourself and see your family suffering all around you and you don't want to help them. That's not even being a human. You have become a devil in the flesh. So knowledge, true knowledge and understanding of good morality, which only can come from Almighty God, because Allah, because He's all good, will save us. At this time, I greet you. Assalamu alaikum means peace be unto you, for those who do not know that in the Arabic language. Thank you. And again, I appreciate you all coming on each week, listening, and I hope and pray that Almighty God protect me from saying anything of myself and bless me to say only what He would have me to say to help not only you all but myself to save our souls, because there will be a resurrection and judgment day that we have to stand before Allah, our Creator, and give an accountability for the life we lived in this world, whether it was a good life or bad life. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum again.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you, Imam Shahid Shabbat. Yes, yes, he's bringing it to us. Our Creator, our most merciful God, Allah, is really blessing him with knowledge and wisdom to awaken us, to give us a chance, to come back to the right path, come back home. Like a little nursery rhyme they had, little Bo Peep has lost her sheep and can't tell where to find them. Then there's leave them alone. They'll come home wagging their tails behind them. So this is what we would like to see. We know that most of us have gone astray in this elusive world that we are living in today, that all this glamour, false glamour, and glitter, distraction, all this entertainment, that we don't know, the only life we know is sports and play, just having fun, just enjoying ourselves, so we call it. And we don't think of anything else, of the reality of even while we are here, what's going to be after this, what's tomorrow going to be like. Have we planned for the rest of the day if we're not here? All we know is that we just are having us a good time now, is what they call it. But a good time can turn out to be the worst time of your life. So we have to always be conscious that we are here for a purpose. We're not here just to be here and just to take our time, use our time and playing and having fun and entertaining ourselves. No, we are here as travelers, as strangers, we're supposed to be like, traveling through this world to our real life, our true life, our eventual home, as our foreparents used to say, our ancestors say. They sung songs. They were aware. If you can recall, maybe your grandmother or your aunts, uncles many years ago, how they would constantly be singing songs, spiritual songs, about the hereafter and preparing themselves to go back home to their Lord, to return back home to their Lord, because they knew that this life is just a preparation for us. It's a test. It's to prepare our souls. Prepare what? Prepare our souls to be the best, doing the best of deeds, purifying ourselves to all that is good, and removing any bit of wrong or evil that we might have, because we will be judged. How do you know? How do you not know? You say it's not true. Suppose it is true. Ask yourself these questions. Well, I'm saying it's not true. How do you know it's not true? So you prepare for the unseen, the unknown, if somebody tells you about it. And they have that knowledge. Knowledge has been going on this earth for thousands of years. You just didn't get this little knowledge today that you have. It's been for thousands of years. And this becomes a history of it, and a record to warn you and guide you so you won't make the mistakes that your ancestors did make thousands of years ago, so they suffer the consequences. That's to make it easy for you. To make it easy for you so somebody keeps a record and tells you about it so that you won't do the same thing and make the same mistakes that they made, and it's too late to regret it. It's too late to regret it once you return back, once you've gone back to your Creator. Too late to wish that you were back on earth again. As they say in some of the stories that we read in the Quran and in the Bible and all, how the people wish that they could be given another chance to return back on earth. All the good they would do, they would listen this time. It's going to be too late for that. So you should always prepare yourself for the unknown. If somebody tells you that a terrible hurricane is coming, and you're going to plan to go, you're going to that place, they tell you it's coming in. You just planned a trip there, let's say in Florida. And they tell you, well, you know, it's a terrible hurricane predicted to come in Florida this weekend. Oh, man, yeah, you know, they always say that. Sometimes it's true, sometimes it's not. I'm going on anyway. And you go on there and get caught up in that terrible hurricane because you did not listen. Most people only want to hear themselves and what they have to see and think about something. They don't want anyone to tell them anything that's against their plan. They don't even think about God and His plan and His purpose for them, why they're on earth even. What purpose are they on earth? You're on earth, you're contest to see who will be best in conduct. Best in conduct. And I was reading a surah, a chapter from the Holy Quran today, our book from the Creator. And in it, what we're talking about, our record, our deeds that we will have to answer to, that will be handed to us on the judgment day, huh? That is what I was reading on today. And whatever business thou mayest be, and whatever portion thou mayest be reciting from the Quran, and whatever deed ye mankind may be doing, we are witnesses thereof. When ye are deeply engrossed therein, nor is hidden from thy Lord so much as the weight of an atom on the earth or in heaven, and not the least and not the greatest of these things, but are recorded clear record. Those who believe and constantly guard against evil, for them are glad tidings in the life of the present and in the hereafter. Huh? For them are glad tidings, those who hear and obey, who listen and take heed, huh? Like when you don't listen to your parents or those of you who are grown, no, if little children don't know yet, that when you don't listen to your parents and they're telling you, trying to guide you, right, telling you what to do, you got to suffer the consequences, and the consequences aren't good, huh? We used to try sometimes and say, oh, well, when we're little, our parents said, don't go here, don't go there, you'd be home at a certain time. Well, Dad is not going to be, he's not going to be home right away. He's at work. He's coming home late. I think I'm going to walk this friend of mine home. I'll just walk home with her after school today. And you go on and do your little thing the way you want to do it. And when you come home and you walk in that door, who's facing you? Who are you standing in front of? But your daddy, who decided to take off and come home early. And oh, boy. Huh? Huh? You should have listened. Yes, and that's the same that it is with us here living on this earth. Allah God, our Creator, has left a record. He left a guide for us, a blueprint of our life. He didn't just put us here and leave us in darkness to wonder how to get about what we're doing, why we're doing it, and what the results are going to be. No. He left instructions and a record for us. And he gave us a guide to live by. And he told us the things to do that would prolong our life, give us a happy, a good, long life. And the things not to do. And cautioned us about Satan, the whispers in us of the evil, the wrong way to go. The wrong direction. Do not follow that which you're told. That will harm you. And he let us know many things that would harm us on this earth. But yet, what do we do? If he says, eat of this food, it's best for you. Oh, I don't want that old stuff. This over here looks good to me. And you go over there and you eat that, and next thing you know, you're spitting up all over the place. Your stomach's hurting. You're praying to him to help you, forgive you, and next time you'll never eat that again, huh? You go and you do things that you shouldn't do, and you get yourself in trouble. Unfortunately, we have too many of our young people doing this today, following each other, following the leader, call themselves, going to get them some quick money by doing wrong and trying to get somebody else's money, or by doing wrong and selling somebody something harmful for their bodies. And their soul is selling them something harmful so that they can get money off of them, get so-called rich. And they end up what? Either in jail or, as they say, in this world, they end up in jail or in hell, most of them. In fact, all of them will be punched by a somerset. So you can't do wrong and get by. The end of evil is evil. So your punishment is coming, whether you want to believe it or not. So for the wise of you, wake up. Wake up, our people. Wake up and think about your life. Think about what you're doing. Oh, I can't do nothing. I don't know how. There's always something you can do. There's all kinds of classes out here that are prepared for you, programs prepared to help you to get on your feet, to do something. So you got to take a little bit of money at first. But the rewards in the end of this, you got to struggle first. That's what life's all about. Your struggles, you get the rewards of your struggles in life. You're not put on this earth just to do nothing. You use this body. This body is your tool to be used. And the more you use it, the stronger it gets. And the more use you get from it. So therefore, people, we need to wake up and understand that we have a purpose in life. Struggle to find out what that purpose is. Think about the things that we like, we enjoy doing. Ask why. Why do we like them? The beautiful things. All this earth start wondering and asking questions about the life on earth, the beautiful flowers that you see blooming, the beautiful animals, the insects inside the earth, the fish in the water life. Start questioning all of this, wanting to know more about it, and seeing how you can fit in to help make this a better life, a more beautiful life, a good life for all to live. How you can help others, reach out and help them with what little bit you do have, whatever it is. It's just like once you start on a job, you don't know how to do that job that well. You're not going to be successful. So your boss gives you a while to work that job and learn how to do it first before he decides whether he can use you or going to keep you on that job or not. Huh? Then you do an evaluation. You check out and see how you're doing. Check with you every now and then. And if you're doing good, you got your job, huh? And you advance. And the more you advance, next thing you know, you get more money as you advance, huh? You're making more money. Didn't start out with that much at first. Well, that's the way it goes. That's the plan. You start out with little and end up gaining much if you follow the right directions and obey and do as you're told. Then you will reap the rewards of gains of that hard labor, that effort that you put forth to try to get something from life. But I remember, the greater rewards is giving back to life, helping others to get, making sure others have too. That's the beauty of it. That's the goodness in it. That's the best of conduct. When you don't get or try to strive and get for self, but try to get for others too. Try to get so that others can enjoy what you have. To give of yourself for the a betterment of all. For all. You see all of us as one human being, one creation, one big family. And we work for that cause. And not to selfishly have and gain and hoard and say, oh, this is mine and you got yours to get. No. You won't get blessings for that, for ignoring your brother's needs. That's your purpose in life. To see who's best in conduct. Are you going to think about your brother and help him? Or are you going to let him save your father after you've gotten all of yours? No. Help him to get on his feet too so he can help somebody else. And you can see we wouldn't have no welfare. We wouldn't need no food stamps. If we just learn to do right, obey our Creator, His plan, and help one another in life. As we help someone, they help someone else, and then they help someone else. You see how it goes? And we're helping each other to survive. And isn't that beautiful? Just think about it. That's the way it goes. So this is, let's think about it, people. Live life after death in this world and the hereafter. That's the title today. Life after death. Why do we call it life after death? Why are we saying life after death? Because right now, if we're not following the guides of our Creator, the laws of Him, the commandments that He set down through the prophets to us, and we are not doing as He says, we're not living. We're dead. We're following a life that of destruction that's going to take us nowhere but to an early death and then to what they call the hellfire after that. For being disobedient and not living the plan that our Creator put here on earth for us to live. So we want to get back on track, get back on the right road, come back to the right direction. You see the signs there? Huh? You fought the wrong side. Now you're lost. You don't know which way to go. You're in confusion there. There's a voice calling you back to the right way. Listen to that voice and follow it. Wake up. Obey this time. And come back to your Creator's way of life. Come back to the life that was planned for you to live. And enjoy not just life on this earth, but life in the hereafter too. And now I'm going to give you our host, Imam Shahid Shabazz. But before I give him back to you, I will remind you that you're listening to the radio broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, The Reality of the Creator, and today's discussion is Life After Death, in this world and the hereafter. This is part two. We did a part one last week, and we are continuing this week because we believe that you can really use this knowledge and information that we're giving to you now. And now, our host, Imam Shahid Shahbaz.
Thank you very much. And very beautiful recitation, a reciting of the remembrance of Allah. I thank Allah for this beautiful Muslim woman. And Muslim woman means a woman who surrendered completely her will to the divine will of Allah. Then she becomes, in the Arabic language, what's called a Muslima, a woman of God, a woman of Allah. So I thank Allah for this woman of Allah, because this woman of Allah is sharing with you information that will help you to save your soul. And I'm so grateful for her, because you don't have women speaking spiritual today. You have men taking over as far as, you know, the spiritual lead. I'll say that, especially in Islam, the Islamic way of life. But I was reading in the Holy Quran this morning where Almighty God, Allah, say women have spiritual duties and obligations to learn His way of life, His word, and teach it to other people and live it themselves just like men. In fact, you know, people, this is so important. The family life begins with the mother. It don't begin with the man. So the woman is very important. And we should have more respect for women. I'm talking to you men now. Even if a woman don't respect herself, you should still respect her, because if she don't respect herself, how are you going to ever help her to learn to respect herself if you disrespecting her? No, respect her, so that maybe perchance Almighty Allah will bless her to wake up and realize the shame and the disgrace she's bringing on herself by living an immoral life. You know, kindness always brings people back to right thinking. Love is what draws people to goodness, the goodness of Allah. While there's a saying of Allah, He say to His prophets and messengers, to teach my people in a gentle way, and you will draw them to me through teaching them with love and kindness. So we have to be loving and kind towards those that are miseducated, that don't have the true knowledge of themselves. Be patient. Those of knowledge, with them. I wanted to say that, but I wanted to say that to say this. You know, religion is supposed to be, and it is in fact, ordained by our Creator Allah to bring people to God consciousness so that we can live a good life on this earth and not just wait till we die and say, well, I'll wait till I die, and I have the good life after I die. No, 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 no. That's not what Almighty Allah intended for us. Almighty Allah says in the Holy Quran, and He say He wants and desires for us the good of this world, the material world, and the good of the hereafter. But you see, why ain't there good in this world? We see all around us corruption. We see all around us evil, but you got religion everywhere. You got more churches in the United States than you have schools. Now you got Muslims competing with other Muslims to build masjids, that is, places of worship. You got people, religion everywhere, but why is the world in the condition it's in? If you look at the world today and you got any sense at all of thinking in you, you wouldn't see a bright future for this world. You will see a dim future for this world. You will see total annihilation for this human race very soon if there's not a spiritual change. This world needs a spiritual change. I see people in religion, all religion today, bickering with each other, not just against another religion, but in their own religion. They say they follow the same book, and they arguing about the word of Almighty Allah. Almighty God Allah say, when this truth come to you, there's no need to argue no more. You're supposed to become in one accord with each other, because his word unites us. His word teaches us of his unity. So if we understand that religion is not just for ritualism, most people in religion, they are go to church, the Christian, the Muslim, go to the masjid, these are places of worship. The Jews go to the synagogue, that's where they worship. Buddhists go to the Buddhist temple, wherever they go. You see people in religion, all religions today, they'll go, certain times they worship, I got to go to my worship, it's my spiritual time. And then after they do that, when they hit the street, that's all gone. No more spiritual time. It's Miller time. I said Miller time because Miller is a beer, and they call Miller the high life. So they'll go back to Miller time, thinking that the material world and the karma pleasures and in the material world and the material things is the high life, and forget that the high life is the spiritual life up high with Allah. It's not low down here in the valley of the shadow of death. We see death all around us. And it's been said in scripture that this is a valley of the shadow of death. Why? Because all around you, you see shadows of death. You see dead people dropping, death overtaking people. But I'm going to tell you, I don't like that term. I want to share with you. What is the problem in religion today, all religions? The problem in all religion today is bid'ah. Bid'ah is an Arabic word translated from the Holy Quran in the Arabic language that means innovation. Almighty God Allah instructed the first man, Adam, and the first woman, Eve, he instructed them not to practice bid'ah. Innovation. How did he do this? First of all, he created them, and he created them, and he put them in a place that was like a garden. Now, symbolically, if you think about it, a garden, I've worked on farms, and man, I've seen gardens and apples, oranges, watermelons. Oh, man, it looks so beautiful, and just the scenery of a garden. But it's symbolic, too, now. This wasn't a physical garden. This was a heavenly garden. It was a state of the soul where the soul enjoyed happiness. The soul enjoyed joy. The soul enjoyed peace. The soul enjoyed tranquility with Almighty God Allah, who possesses all of those great and good qualities. And he said, listen, you will always have this bliss as long as you don't eat of one tree in this garden of paradise I've put you in. Okay? He says, and this tree is in the midst of the garden. Now listen, really, now midst means that it don't mean in a certain place. You can go anywhere and you are in the midst. You can go in the midst of evil if you see it over there. If you see some people doing good over there, you can go in the midst of those people. So what he meant by midst meant that you can go anywhere, all over the garden. But he say, in doing this, when you come across the tree that bear the knowledge, the fruit, fruit only means knowledge symbolically. When you come across the knowledge of good and evil, truth and falsehood, he said, don't eat of that tree. In other words, eating means don't take that knowledge into your soul. Don't reject that knowledge. He said, because the day that you eat of that tree or you mix that knowledge with the truth, the good, my good knowledge all around you, that is the day you will surely die. Now, he didn't say you might die. He said you will surely die. So that same thing applies to us today, people. I see most people in religion, they are spiritually dead because you know what they're doing? They're trying to mix worldly living with spiritual living. You can't do that. That's trying to mix, that ain't trying, that's mixing a lie with the truth. This whole world and this whole material structure is nothing but a lie. It's an illusion. An illusion is a lie. It's some make-believe. It's a lie. And that's why you got so many Muslims, the majority of them spiritually dead, the majority of Christians spiritually dead, the majority of Jews spiritually dead, Buddhists, Hindus, Yahshua, or whatever religion or whatever name you want to cover yourself. You got people, excuse me, in religion always talking about atheists. Ah, they don't believe in God. You ain't got to be in no religion to believe in Allah. You ain't got to go to church to be saved from your own self-destruction. You ain't got to go to no masjid to be saved from your own self-destruction and hear no kufar lecture. You ain't got to go to no synagogue to be saved from your own self-destruction. You know what you got to do to be saved from your own self-destruction? Stop following your ways, which is bidah, inventions, your own inventions, which is wrong, lies, and sincerely seek and ask your Creator Allah for understanding of His will. And I want you to understand, if you will, the will of Allah or the Creator is His way that He created for us to live by. So His will leads us to life, and our will leads us to death. It leads us to confusion. So I want to speak particularly now to the African-American people in particular right now. They always, a lot of them talk about the slavery here for us as a black people, so-called black people, African-American people in the United States of America. A lot of things they say are true. And you see, this is the point I want to make to you all, African-American people. The same things that happened in the past, where they used to kill and lynch, brutalize black people in this country, castrate us, hang us up with a rope just looking at a white woman. There was a saying they had about 100 years ago. Say you, and it won't even 100 years ago. Say you rape a black man, you raping her with your eyes. They kill him. Lock him up, put him in jail for life. Why am I saying this? You might say, some of you, oh, we don't need to hear about that. Why you don't need to hear about it? In order to know where you going, you got to know where you come from. In order to overcome slavery, you got to understand what put you in slavery. You can't get out of slavery if you don't know how you got put in slavery. You got to know how you got put in slavery. You got put in slavery, African-American people, by the so-called white man, white people, miseducating you. They stripped you. They took the knowledge, the true knowledge, and understanding that you had in Africa, where you were civilization builders. They took the true knowledge that you had in Africa, that you went over to Europe and taught the Europeans how to become civilized when they were living like animals and even having sex with animals. You told them that that wasn't right. That was ungodly. That was uncivilized. They didn't even have a decent housing to live in. They didn't know how to survive. They didn't know hardly anything that a human being is supposed to know just to survive on earth with the basic needs and essentials of life. It was the Muslims. Some people call them Moors, just black people. No, it was Muslims that went over thousands of years ago and brought civilization to the Western world. You see, when the Western world was uncivilized, in fact, during the lifetime of Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, it is called a Renaissance. It's called a time when the world was in spiritual darkness like it is now, people were justifying homosexuality. People were justifying prostitution. They were justifying lesbianism, having sex with children. Not only that, they were justifying killing little bitty baby girls alive. They thought a woman was a source of shame, that she wanted nothing compared to the man. She was inferior to him. So they would bury the little girl babies alive. Just bury her. Do you think about this now? They doing the same thing now. Killing their children, putting them in cars, in hot heat, and leaving them, going in a store. Can you imagine that? A woman going in a store. She carried that baby for 9 months in pain. Her and the baby was the closest to death. And a mother, she can't be a human being. Leave her baby in the car in hot heat and let the baby suffocate. Put a baby in cars. This is talking about you, too, African America. Down in South Carolina, a white lady, she killed her 2 children. I think it was a boy and a girl. Put them in a car and drove the car into a river. Well, 2 boys, I understand. It don't matter. The point, we want to get to the point. She did it. She did it, and she blamed a black man, and they arrested a black man for it. Didn't have no evidence that the man did it, but because he was black, he did it. You think that same thing is not happening today? Profiling. There was one black guy down, a situation in Atlanta, Georgia. Some of you may know about it, a lot of you may not. This young African-American young man, he was successful. And he wasn't no rapper, he wasn't no basketball player, he was just a successful businessman. I'm proud of him. I hate what he did, and the police, he had a Mercedes Benz. One of the most expensive cars, and they always, the police following him. Everywhere he go, they just following him and looking at him, sitting, waiting on him, and following him when he leave. And he got so tired of that, he said, I'm just like in prison today, and we're supposed to be free. So one day he made up in his mind, I'm going to just eliminate this. I'm the next time they stop me, I'm going to kill them. And that's exactly what he did. It's about 3 police officers stopped him again. He just got out of the car, didn't say nothing, opened up fire, and killed about 2 or 3 of us. And then they locked him up, and they were trying to find out why did he do this. And they were talking to this lady. She was a professor, a psychiatrist. And they asked her, they told her, check this out. They said, why do you think he did it? She said, well, you know, look at all that's being done to black people and in the society, all injustice, and that don't justify it, but the young man was tired of being disrespected and treated like black people couldn't be successful in this country. We have built this country. And they told her, well, why didn't he just rape a white woman? Now, check this out. They asked him, the late psychiatrist, the black psychiatrist, why didn't he just rape a white woman then? Why did, now, you see how that's what they think of us. And I told you, they used to kill black men for looking at white women in a certain way, say, raping them with his eye. So what I'm saying, black people, is that you are in 2 types of bondage in America. You're in a bondage from white people still hating on you. And you're in the bondage because of your own ignorance of not knowing how to overcome slavery by re-educating yourself and coming out of that falsehood that you've been miseducated in about yourself, your life, your history from these ungodly, misleading, ungodly people, white people and Jews in the United States government. They represent about the pale-skinned Jew. And the pale-skinned Caucasian European represents about 30% or 35% of the world population of human beings. And they practically run, control the wealth and control the lives of the majority, all the other 65 or 70% of people of color. Why? Because of what Satan did to Adam and Eve, our mother and father in the garden, divide and conquer. What type of division is we talking about? The same division. They have divided you from your past history. And they have, this is so ironic, because the co-hosts talk about this a lot. And I was ignorant a long time to this too. You know the way white people talk, the way they act, and the way black people act. Do you know that's a reversal of what they did to us in slavery? The way we act is the way they act when they came over here from Europe, and the way they act, and we call it civilized, that's how we was acting when they brought us over here from Africa. So they done reversed roles with us. And even one man was talking about classical music. I used to think that was white people music. You know, I think our music, black people, was all about jumping up and down, dancing, and we want the funk and all that crazy stuff. And classical music, if you really understand it, the brother of one scholar was saying that music was designed where the Africans, when they used to play it, it used to have a spirituality about it where it used to heal the mind, the body, and the soul. It had spirituality, a spiritual message. It had a spiritual power that God gave it. The Africans are Muslims. They were very spiritual people, and a lot of the Africans too. So they took all of our spirituality away from us when they went to Africa and got us and brought millions of us over here slaves, and they gave us their barbaric and beastly style of living that they was living in Europe. They used to put men in the ring and have them fighting lions, and knowing the lion was going to kill them, and they would be eating and laughing. And they used to put black people in the arena in place of with lions and have them to fight people and kill each other, not only in Europe, when I'm talking about in America. That's where boxing come from. They got a movie called Dango or something like that. Well, they showing black men fighting, white people sitting around drinking liquor, alcohol, laughing, eating, and they had the black men to beat each other up so much, and they had the black man to tear one black man's arm off his body, to just break his arm and just beat him until he just decapitated his whole body. And they watched and they laughed. This stuff happened. Do you not know that the white man and the Jew, the Judaic European, has been planning genocide for the black people in America ever since they brought us over here over 500 years ago? They haven't changed. That's why they got that stand your ground law, letting you know it ain't never went nowhere. But y'all, we kept y'all ignorant so long and took all the fight out of y'all and with integration. Y'all ain't going to do nothing nowhere. If we kill you outright, y'all ain't going to do nothing. And ain't that happening? They're killing black people outright. And these old bought-out Uncle Tom niggas, they tell black people we shall overcome. They still talking about we're going to overcome, but we ain't going to do nothing to overcome. We're just going to sing the song and hope that we overcome. We're going to hope that our enemy that has nothing but the devil in him change and start treating us right. Why you're insane if you think this is going to happen, African American people. So this part of the talk was also for you all, because you all can't come back to life, African American, until you first come back to who you are. Quit trying to imitate white people, Jews, Arabs. I'm talking to you Muslims now too, because most black African American Muslims try to imitate Arab Muslims. Huh? Iranian, Pakistani, Indian, everybody but who they are. So that comes from slavery too, hate, self-hatred. They taught us to hate ourselves. And to love not only white people, but when you hate yourself, you don't love anybody else. Black people in America, the majority of them, they love Spanish people. They love Caucasians. They love everybody. But they share. You got black men and women, they poor, right? And when they get rich, they don't want a black man or woman as a husband. They had them, and the black man and woman helped them all up to that point. Time they get rich, they drop them and get them a white man and a white woman for a husband or a wife. Why is that? Black people have been so thoroughly programmed through slavery that they hate themselves, they love white people, and still they're supposed to be out of slavery, but their main focus every day is to get white people to love them and accept them as Americans. That'll never happen. They didn't bring us here to share in the wealth and the benefits of America. They brought us here as you to go buy you some cattle or buy you some products to sell. We are only products to them. And they didn't use up our us productively. Product comes out of the word productivity. We done gave them so much productivity and built up this country for them that they don't need us no more. So they just done took jobs from us, went over and got the Mexicans because they know they were living in such poverty, they'd work for a little of anything. And so they take these old jobs paying way below the minimum of wage what it should be. But the difference in them and us, and you hear blacks talking about the Mexicans, but don't talk about them people. Stop it today. Them people, they may be poor as they were over in Mexico, but they come over here to America, get be blessed with that opportunity, and they take advantage of it. They stick together. They pull their money together. They pull their resources together. So all of them can live good, not just some of them. Black people in America won't do that today. You got Michael Jordan, Oprah Winfrey, Shaquille O'Neal, all of these black people are the millionaires. And you got all of this black poverty, black people sleeping in the streets all over this country, starving. Black women with children sleeping on the street in these big cities all over this country. It should be no hungry people in this country. There should be no people sleeping in the streets in this country with all of this material wealth. All these billionaires and millionaires. I started to say something, but it is a shame before God. And God condemns that. Allah condemns that. And then showing you he condemned that, he's getting ready to bring a destruction on America that she never knew before. And it's going to catch the unaware. The government, they got a plan to destroy the people, and Allah got a plan to destroy the government. So we have about 2 minutes. So we will let the co-host say one word, and I'll close in prayer. A few words.
We want to thank Imam Shahid Shabazz for the beautiful teachings that he's given us today. Take heed. Listen. Don't just let it be your entertainment, but take it and live with it. Think about it. And if you know you're on that wrong path, come back to the right path. Turn your life around. And African-Americans, let's get ourselves together and learn to come together, love one another, and work together like other people of other races. We're pointing to speak of wonder why they have and we don't have, and they've taken the jobs and all. We have everything we need to make our own jobs. We have everything we need to get our own homes and own houses. We have everything we need to feed ourselves. We're the ones left in to get that. Now we need to learn that we have to get it for ourselves. And nobody, like my husband said, nobody's going to help us do it. We want to thank you today for joining us in our radio broadcast show. I'm Imam Shahid Shabazz, Reality of the Creator. Join us again next week at the same time, 10:30 a.m., and I invite others along to join us too. And next time, won't you try to just give us, ask a question, comment, and we will have a good discussion together. We need to hear from you and know what it is that you think and how you feel and what questions are on your mind when we're teaching you. So push that number one button next to your time and ask some questions, all right? Give a comment to us. Thank you, our radio listening audience. May God be with you and bless you. May Almighty God Allah bless you with the most peaceful day today and the most enjoyable day. And until we hear from you again next week, God willing, have a wonderful, wonderful day today.
We're your friends. We're your friends.